The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome to our program here on this Thursday. We have a lot to do today, and we really look forward to all of you for being a part of it. Great deal to get to, and we want to get your calls, of course, and a number of guests. We are joined by one of the legends in college football history, former Alabama coach Gene Stallings, who, of course, led Alabama in 1992 to a national championship and left a legacy and an indelible print on that program that is still felt today. Coach Stallings, it's such a pleasure to have you on. We've all been concerned about your health, and we hope you're doing okay. Good afternoon.
Paul, I really appreciate you calling. It's good to talk to you. Always love talking to you. I was concerned about Eli. Somebody told me that Eli was sick, Eli Gold, and something happened to him. Yeah. Thought you may even know about that.
Yeah, I am concerned, Coach, and we're trying to get a little more information. They announced yesterday that he would not begin the season, and really nothing else was offered, and there is a lot of concern. So, yeah, if I can pick up anything else, I'll call you immediately. But I was hoping you could help us, because I know how close you two have been over these many, many years.
Well, he's a pro just like you're a pro. Every time I've been on his show, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Same thing said about you, Paul, and it's a joy to be on your show.
Thank you. Well, Coach, let me ask. I read a couple of weeks ago that you had had, I never want to say a major setback, because you're a tough guy, but how are you doing right now?
You know, I'm doing fine. I've been to town doing some stuff, and I just had a little stroke, no step or stepper. And I guess there's no such thing as a minor stroke, but I think that's probably what I had. I've had a couple of them. I'm doing as well as I can, Paul. I really am.
Well, Coach, I mean, it's hard for any of us who have known you these many, many years, and many have known you a little bit longer, to think of you being sick. You're one of the healthiest looking people I've ever seen, and I know you're still out there working, doing things on your ranch, because that's what you love to do, isn't it?
That's absolutely right, and in fact, I'm out doing some stuff right now. To tell you the truth, I had to come in and be where it was a little quieter, but it's going to be on your show. Out in the country, you don't always get good reception, but anyway, so I came to the house where I could talk to you good.
Coach, I mean, I know it's always somewhat frowned upon to talk about people's age, but you're certainly past your mid-80s, and everyone deals with it at different ages, and I guess it comes up because I always felt like you could have coached a lot longer, and you know, people make a big deal about, you know, Saban being 70 and Bobby Bowden coaching until his late 70s and Paterno even longer. How does it affect a coach when you start reaching various milestones?
First of all, I'm 86, and I thoroughly enjoyed my time at Alabama. I just felt like it was somebody else's chance to coach at Alabama. Physically, I could have done the job. You know, you tire out a little quicker than you used to, but other than that, I'm fine. I could still coach, whether or not I could be on the field during practice for all the time that I did. That would be a little hard for me. I could handle the games all right.
I bet you could. Well, Coach, I have to ask you, because we haven't talked to you in a while, but so much is happening in college sports, and you have been one that has always been true to your beliefs and to the infrastructure and principles of the way this game was developed. What are your thoughts on where we are right now with NIL and the exploding expansion? Just some overall thoughts on the game of college football.
Well, you know, the thing that you used to be put on probation for, now it's legal. And you can just buy a player. I'm really opposed to that. Somewhere along the line, we got to realize you go to college for an education. Education is never mentioned. It's whether or not he's going to be transferring from this school to that one, and how much eligibility he's going to lose. What about the hours he's going to lose? But somewhere along the line, we still got to realize we go to college, get an education, not play football.
But, Coach, now that we are in this new era, and it's about a year and 2 months old, a year and 1 month old, there doesn't seem to be any putting it back. We had Tommy Tuberville on yesterday, who, as you know, is now a United States senator, and they're working on it. But it seems like the ship has already sailed, hasn't it?
Well, we don't need the Congress to get involved in college football. That's a personal opinion. I know Tommy, and I know him well, and he's going to do a good job as a senator. But this is an athletic director's thing that they've got to settle on and do what's best for not only their school, but what's best for college football. And the athletic directors can do that better than anybody.
Coach, as somebody who was a coach at a number of places, from Texas A&M, obviously, we know your Alabama history very well. If you had a player making a couple of million dollars a year, I realize times are different, but you could do the math, and it's still a lot of money, whatever it was when you were the coach. What kind of strains does that put on you and your staff in trying to communicate with that player?
Extremely hard. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's next to impossible. I will say this. I'm glad that I'm not coaching in this day and time where you got to deal with all the things that they have to deal with. But you go talk about you're going to give a player $2 million. How are you going to tell him not to do that? And yet, you know, it's not in the best interest of the football team for somebody to be generating all that money and the rest of them not. But I would be opposed to paying the player, just like I was back when I was coaching.
We're talking to Coach Gene Stallings, and you know, we talk so much often about, you know, your role at Alabama. I think we probably don't give enough credit to your role as a regent or trustee at Texas A&M. And I'll say it, but you played a big role in helping bring Texas A&M to the Southeastern Conference, and I know how dear that school is to you as well. And it's a friend of mine sent me some pictures of some of the new development out there, and it's mind blowing what's happening in College Station.
It really is, and the good decision for Alabama to go into the SEC, A&M to go into the SEC, and it's good for college football, and it's good for everybody. But along with all those pluses, there's somewhere along the line there got to be some minuses. And when you go to talking about buying a player, I'm still opposed to that, but somewhere along the line when it's legal and everybody else is doing it, somewhere along the line you've got to get the player and you've got to do what your opposition is doing.
Coach Stallings, so many people in recent months, almost all the major coaches have talked about how this is not a sustainable model. I know how you feel, but what do you think? Where do you think the disconnect is going to come, and how is it going to affect the game moving forward, long past when you and I are talking together about college football?
Well, it's a whole lot easier to go forward than it is to go backwards. I agree with you. How are you going to stop it? Once that sled gets rolling, it's awfully hard to stop it. Somewhere along the line, we got to realize that you go to college for an education. You don't go to college to play football. And maybe we're going to have to pay the player if he makes all A's or something like that. But somewhere along the line, we got to realize as students of the game, as coaches and athletic directors, the game is still for the player. I understand that. But somewhere along the line, we've got to use good judgment.
Coach, before you go, I want to talk about maybe the favorite subject I've ever had discussions with you about, and that's your son, Johnny, who we lost a couple of years ago. It's hard to think about you without thinking about him and the indelible impression and legacy that he made. And I know you continue to work in the Tuscaloosa community and many other places trying to raise awareness and especially money in his honor.
Paul, my life wouldn't have been nearly as rich if it wasn't for the fact that I had the privilege of helping raise a child that had special needs. Johnny loved football. He knew all the players. He knew all the coaches. Even in professional football, he knew Coach Landry and fact, one of the stories I enjoy telling when he's going to meet Coach Landry, I was telling him how to do it. I said, Johnny, we're going to go in Coach's dressing room and meet Coach Landry, and he'll say, glad to meet you, Coach Landry. And when he saw Coach Landry, first thing he said was, hi, Tom. So anyway.
That's so great.
It's a great story of mine, but, yeah, my life wouldn't have been nearly as rich. I didn't think so when he was first born. I was just devastated. But the thing that I felt like was the worst thing that ever happened to me turned out to be the best. He loved the player. He knew every player's name. You can't imagine how many things, not only in the Alabama area, but it's named after him. Stadiums and football fields and everything else. So he has really made his little mark in life.
Coach, I mean, nobody knows what's ahead, but I don't think there will ever be a moment in my career or anybody's career that I know that will be more special than you. The shot of you being carried off the field in New Orleans after winning the national championship against Miami and the smile on Johnny's face. I know you've seen it since then, but you were a little busy at the time. That is something that will become, that has always been one of the greatest parts of Alabama history. And that's saying a great deal considering the coach you played for in college and worked under later on and in many ways was your mentor. And of course, I'm talking about Paul Bryant.
Right. Well, we were in a little room together, just the two of us, right after that game. And it was a big game. I understand that. But Johnny looked at me and he said, good job, Pop.
That's great.
That's all he said about winning that game. Good job, Pop.
Well,
just like I was the guy that won it.
Yeah, well, you know, Coach, you played a pretty big role. And nobody will ever forget that. And we will hopefully have many more of these conversations. Stay well, and we really appreciate you making time for us.
Paul, I remember when you came to College Station. That was a big deal. Lots of people turned out to hear you down in College Station. I was one of them. And they really have an appreciation for you, not only in the Southeastern Conference, but at A&M as well as Alabama. We appreciate what all you've done for college football.
Coach, you be well, and I hope to see you soon. Take care of yourself, and best to all your family.
Les, it's always a joy to be on your show, and you all are anytime. I'm never too busy to be on Ball Five Mob Show.
Thank you very much. The absolute legend, Gene Stallings, joining us from his ranch in Texas on this late summer day. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, we've already had Gene Stallings. If we can top that, it will be a great show. Griff will join us to get the reaction from Georgia on Nick Saban's comments about the rebuilding year. And Matt Stinchcomb on the SEC opening at many places. Let's get you some headlines. As the NCAA Board of Directors has delayed a vote on the transfers, that is predictable. They'll keep delaying and delaying. The Aggies have quite a QB battle. We mentioned one of the departees is already in Auburn, Zach Calzada, but you got three trying to get the job, and we're all eager to see who Jimbo Fisher selects. There's a group of writers who are trying to imagine some various things. It's a pretty long, drawn-out story about what would happen if bowl games started earlier. Imagine having the bowl games at the beginning of the season. They probably would be more interesting than many of them are at the end. No games versus FCS, extra bye weeks. These are all interesting ideas, and none of them will be put into play. Let's get to some phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Let's begin with Greg, who is in Ohio. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Feinbaum, I'm going to get a crystal ball, and me and you are going to look into the future.
Okay.
Okay. First, for my 14 playoff, I like Alabama. I like Ohio, my Ohio State Buckeyes. I like the Georgia Bulldogs, and I'm not too fond of Clemson. I don't look at their quarterback. I don't look at their quarterback good. So I think I'm going to go with USC. I think USC is done a pretty good job in recruiting. In saying that, my Ohio State Buckeyes, I believe, have the Heisman Trophy winner in C.J. Stroud. And I believe he's going to win the Heisman. And I think they're going to end up playing Alabama for that national title. Now, if they play Alabama for that national title, and Nick Saban wins that national title, he beats Ohio State. With all this NIL and all the transfer portals and all this conference realignment that's went on, do you see Nick Saban beating my Ohio State Buckeyes for the national title and calling it quits at the end of the year, or vice versa?
Yeah, Greg, thank you. I've heard a lot of people opine on that, and I agree with you. Those are the two teams I like the most, and I'm still wrestling with who else will get there. But there are a small amount of people that think Saban would walk away. And then there are even more who would argue against it based on all the things that you've heard throughout the years. And I am... not certain NIL is going to be his undoing this quickly. I still think he's worn out by it. We saw that this past summer. But the fact that he has been able to negotiate and manage it quite well, he has had probably in the last 3 weeks among the best recruiting stretches that he's ever had. That tells you that he's figured it out. And there's nothing like the combination of winning and being able to attract money and great players. It's a deadly combination. And now you're starting to get people who are thinking, you know what, I can now be part of Nick Saban's last championship or last class. And there's a real lure to that. Let me go to William next in Maryville. Hello, William.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You know, Paul, somebody asked you yesterday about your legacy, and you know all that means is you're getting older, Paul. And you know I'm older than you are, and you know, Paul, the best thing about being old and listening to your show is I'm a little hard of hearing and I can't understand a dadgum word that AC says, and I consider that to be a blessing, Paul.
Yeah, William, let me offer this: old or young, we have really superb equipment here at ESPN. When I'm hearing the caller, I'm probably hearing it magnified 10 or 15 times with somebody watching on a television. And I have no earthly idea what he's talking about.
Well, you know, I was really calling about Senator Tuberville yesterday. And, you know, yesterday afternoon, kind of while you were talking to the Senator Booker from New Jersey, and Schumer reintroduced their college bill of rights. So now you've got dueling senators, you know, one focusing on whatever Tuberville was focusing on, and one focused on this bill of rights. And, you know, all I heard Tuberville say was he wanted to preserve the game we love, which says to me that, you know, whenever somebody talks about the past and wanting to preserve things, it generally says to me that they were the ones in power or the ones getting the benefit from the history, and they want to keep in power. And I think that cow is out of the barn, Paul.
I agree with you. And I will say this, having spoken, it was 3 weeks ago today that I saw Tuberville in D.C., and what I heard from him yesterday was a little bit different. And, you know, I think I don't know if he bristled, but I think I broke the code, and you tell me if I'm wrong, William, but this sounds like Nick Saban having called Joe Manchin one times too many, and Joe called Tuberville and said, hey, can you come up with something, get this guy off my back?
Well, you know, with the West Virginia connection of Saban and Manchin together, and now you got Booker, you know, and Schumer talking about
Booker is the real problem with any NIL legislation, because, you know, he's a former athlete. I think he played at Stanford. And he's not going to sign off on this. You know that. And I don't think Schumer is either.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, I think whatever's going to happen, whatever legislation gets passed is going to end up in some courtroom somewhere.
Sure.
And some judge is going to make some decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be like the, you know, when Tuberville was talking about the NCAA, they're not even a player in this. All they are is a target for litigation right now.
And, well, you know, I appreciate Tuberville, because this is his sweet spot, talking about college football. So Yeah, I mean, listen, you're a coach for all those years, and then you're stuck in Washington. What would you rather talk about?
Well, you know, you could be talking to Roy Moore, so I'm glad you're talking to Tuberville.
I don't want to say anything about Roy Moore, because I think the last person who criticized him, he ended up spending 3 years in court, and I don't care enough about Roy Moore to end up going to court to discuss it. Thank you for the call. Let's take a short break. We have a lot to do here in the remaining 3.5 hours. We hope you'll give us a ring right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Quick start today. Yesterday we began with Senator Tuberville. Today, Coach Stallings. Talk about a guy that would have been a good senator, Gene Stallings. Can you imagine him in Washington? Greg is up next. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Greg, we are doing great. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to start out with a belated birthday
for you
from last week.
Appreciate that.
I was working afternoons and was not able to call in, but and I wasn't going to talk about Auburn, but with the latest news with Finley, do you think that's going to shake up the Auburn quarterback situation?
Yeah, we didn't we haven't mentioned yet because the story's a little still pretty confusing. Finley was detained today by local police. Without knowing all the details, I don't think it's going to be as bad as it appears, but I don't think he was going to win the job anyway, but he would
be with you on that.
He would be a very important backup, though.
Well, listen, what I wanted to talk to you about is that you're the ultimate authority on football sports, especially the SEC. Your show has elevated the SEC program to upper levels that other leagues can't even catch. You are actually the James Brown of the sports world. But with that being said, is Paul Feinbaum too big to fail? What do I mean by that? On all the shows and everything, and you, after all, you are at your retirement age now, officially.
Yes, I am officially.
And I'm not far behind you there.
No.
And are you going to pull a Coach Saban and work until you feel like you don't want to work no more, or are you ready to get on the back porch and watch the grass grow?
Yeah, you know, Greg, you can't avoid questions like that, and I've always asked other people those questions. I used to ask Gene Stallings. He once made a joke one time. He said, Paul Feinbaum asked me, he's asked me the last 6 years if this is my last year. I really like what I'm doing, and I know that sounds very trite, but I won't give you the Saban line. I've always been part of a team. I don't see moving away from this anytime in the immediate future. The first thing people always talk about is your health, right? I feel pretty good. I mean, I feel better today than I probably did 5 years ago. So I only can think about that, and I can't think of anything that would short circuit what we're doing here.
Well, I tell you, I'm with you on that, and. Like I always tell my guys, I say, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up, but I enjoy what I'm doing too. And I tell you, though, that really your program has elevated the SEC. I mean, you look at all these other fans calling in from other leagues wanting to talk to you about their program, and it's something to be proud of, actually. But I just was curious, was the Paul Feinbaum image too big to fail?
Well, I will offer this. If you knew my wife, who is a couple of years younger than me, she has no interest. I mean, I mean, every time we're walking around and we see some guy who just retired walking by himself down the street, she goes, "Do you want to be that guy?" And I said, "No, I really don't."
Or walking the dog down the road.
Yeah, I will say that I don't really have a lot of hobbies. And I think the best thing I ever did was give up golf a couple of years ago. So that is not something I am going to be doing. I would much rather be here than playing golf today, I can assure you.
Well, I tell you, that sounds good, and it's good to hear you're going to be around for a while, and hopefully we'll get to see you when you're at Auburn in a couple of weeks.
We can't wait. Yeah. Greg, thank you very much. We have not announced, we've announced the first week of where we'll be, and that will be Fayetteville, but I would say Auburn's looking pretty good for the third week of the season. If you looked at, I mean, we have a reasonable idea where we're going for the SEC Saturday show for the first half of the season, but that can always get turned upside down. Hey, thank you very much for the call, though, Greg. That's the problem with, you got to answer questions like that. Ranger is in Knoxville. Hey, Ranger.
Hey, Paul. It's been a minute or two since I got to talk to you.
Thank you.
I need you to inform me today. I have been up in southeast Kentucky for the last 10 days doing rescue and recovery and aerial things, and I don't really have an idea of what's going on in college football, or if the sports or any other mediums are targeting that area to help out.
Well, Ranger, a lot of people are helping that cause. As I'm sure you've been too busy to be consumed by it, but we have spent some time talking to people from Kentucky, especially the eastern part, and yeah. It's going to take. I mean, I would like to ask you what you have personally seen, and how would you describe it?
I've worked quite a few of the disasters. I would describe it close to Hurricane Katrina or Hurricane Andrew.
Mm.
I did the was at the Oklahoma City bombing, and then I was in Kentucky for tornadoes last year. But it's a mess. I don't know what the death. I mean, I really haven't had communication with any of the outside world. I don't know what the death toll is, but it's going to rise. I think it's going to be years. I think that there's bodies that will never be recovered all along the up around where Tim Couch grew up. It's called Thousand Sticks. There's a lot of abandoned coal mines, and that have got flooded. And during that flood, the abandoned mines kind of create a backflow or a suction, and there may be bodies that are in those abandoned coal mines that may never be found. With a spotted reflex, which is you like somebody throwing a bucket of water on you, your first instinct is to just gasp. And a lot of these people got hit in the middle of the night. And you know, when you gasp, when in training that we have to go through in Ranger schools, cold water insertion, and concentrate on your breathing. But when they gasp in, it wasn't just water. There's a lot of mud, and that, you know, it water mud in the lungs will cause you to it hardens, and you know there may be. This is just speculation. There may be bodies that are found in Tennessee coming down the Powell River. It was so swift of a current for days upon days.
Ranger, let me jump in because we're late for a break, but I appreciate, first of all, thank you for sharing that information with us. I'd like to hear more as we continue. Thank you so much. You've seen quite a bit in your life. Back with more. Your phone calls continue. We started with Coach Stallings, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome you back here Thursday afternoon. Logan is up next. Good afternoon, Logan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Logan, we are doing great.
Paul, I am so sick and tired of Tennessee fans acting like it's their year. How many times have they said, we're back? It's not 1998 anymore, please. I mean, it's just not.
I'll tell you what, Logan. How old did you tell me you were? I remember I asked you this once.
14. I'm okay, about to turn 15.
You're 14. What's Bryan? Is he 12 or 14? The guy that called in the other day and
14.
Yeah. Let's get Bryan's next. He was. Let's see if we can get Bryan on here too. Bryan, how old are you again?
I'm 14.
Okay, so we got two 14-year-olds. One's a Kentucky fan and one's a Tennessee fan. So, Brylan, do you know Logan? Logan, you know Brylan?
Yes.
Yeah, we actually do. We go to the same school.
Okay, well, why don't you guys help us straighten this out? Brylan, you heard what he said, I guess. He's not too impressed with the Tennessee fans right now.
Well, first things first, Logan. For once, we have a great coach this year, and we have a Heisman quarterback, all right? And don't you dare think Kentucky is back, because Will Levis needs to get his turnovers straight, and he needs to calm down, and he makes terrible decisions. You're not going to beat Tennessee. You're not going to beat Georgia. And you're definitely not going to go 11-1.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a good point, except for the fact that you had to cook or some Heisman QB. How can a QB that went 7-6 win Heisman? That stuff just, it don't happen. And there's a road to us making it to Atlanta a lot more than it is for Tennessee. Tennessee's got to play Bama, Georgia, and Georgia on the road. We played Georgia last SEC game of the season at home. So, therefore, you know, if we can do the right things, only lose one game going into that game, we will be playing Georgia for world.
So, Brylan, do you guys go to school in East Tennessee, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you friends? You and Logan?
We are friends, but we can get into some debate sometimes about this kind of stuff.
You know, I don't know how to tell you this, Logan. I spent 4 years of my life in Knoxville. Not too many people in Knoxville really care about Kentucky football. So,
I know.
I think Brylan's probably going to win the argument every time just based on the geography.
Well, I mean, he may win the argument, but at the end of the day, like
7-6, this year is a new year. We were in a year one coach, and now we have a coach who has everything right here in his hands, and our quarterback is better than ever. Our wide receiver is literally a Biletnikoff Award finalist. Our offense is way too dangerous.
You know, I want to say something to both of you guys. I mean, you're both 14. You're still young. You're having fun with this. This ought to be how we discuss college football on this show. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Because when we get the older guys calling in, they're screaming and they're calling each other's names. And you guys have set an example about the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah,
well,
but
thanks.
I understand the passion of these people, but I think name-calling kind of goes too far.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
You hear nothing but screams.
Well, Brylan and Logan, you guys take care of yourself. That's the way it's done, not the way the way it normally is done. So thank you very much for the call. I mean, wasn't that an example for the old folks to pay attention to?
You know, when they grow up, they'll get better at it.
Okay.
But I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Their parents have done a good job. Not one gosh darn it, or who the hell you think you're talking to? You talking to me? You talking to them? Kiss their wings. Kiss their wings. You got to get some, animate that damn thing. But they that was precious. That was a precious moment. Now, Paul, I got a bone to pick with you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
I watch all your little commercials. You show all the stadiums and the cheerleaders and the fans. You show coaches. Correct me if I'm wrong, because if he's in this, it must be real quick. Where's Coach Harsin in all these videos? He was a coach last year.
I don't know.
What are y'all rolling the dice that he won't make it through the season?
I think we're. Are we still showing Alabama winning the SEC and not Georgia winning the national championship too?
Well, I mean, there's always a whole lot of Saban, even when he looks like he's a little bewildered and crazy looking out there, especially that one scene. But I mean, where's Brian Harsin in all this? I mean, it takes what, 5 seconds to put him in there, and then when y'all run him out of here, take him out and put somebody else in.
Well, it's expensive. It's expensive to do that, and we try to go. Should we go ahead and put guys? Can we put Harsin in our lead-in?
If you don't put him in the commercials, then at least put his picture at the bottom of the screen.
Okay, I mean, hold on a second. We're trying to get some overtime approved to get Harsin in. But I personally want to see Harsin in the opening of the show. I'm a big fan of Harsin, and you know that.
I mean, who is taking more grief? If it's anybody on a revenge tour, wouldn't it be him? I mean, who is taking more grief than any coach out there?
You're 100% correct.
Absolutely, I'm correct. You know why I'm correct? Because I know I'm right. Now, these little 14-year-old boys, one day you'll grow up and you'll get to that level, and you can look at Paul and say, I know I'm right.
Hey. We are back with much more.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.